For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
24/7 Sports put out their prediction for what Kentucky's transfers are going to do this season. We're going to break that down, share our opinions. Do we agree? Do we disagree? That is going to be the conversation on today's episode of the Wildcats Today podcast. I'm your host, Andrew Stefaniak, writer and editor over at Kentucky Wildcats on SI, joined as always by my co-host, Carson Nash, who is always in a much better mood on Thursday compared to Tuesday because it's almost the weekend and it might be a wild turkey weekend here in Lexington. Carson, how are we feeling?
I'm feeling great. The wild turkey weekend. It might be. So it definitely always feeling better on Thursdays and Tuesdays. I feel like that goes for most people, right?
Hey, of course. I'm not. Yeah, that's not an asinine take from the fellas here. That's just reality. That's just life.
Energy's high today. I'm excited to talk about some ball.
Yeah, a little ball talk. Now, I want to ask you a question. You might not have seen this. I just got done writing about it. Before we get into our conversation about this. Did you see the video that Kentucky basketball tweeted of Coach Pope mic'd up? Did you watch some of that?
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
I loved every second of that video. It was just so cool to see him you and I have played sports our whole life. Like the way coaches coach you matters and it affects things. I loved the way he was coaching his players. And I think his players love it too. They're slowly taking all that information in. So, I mean, I loved seeing that. Did you like seeing that?
Yeah, you know, one thing that really stood out to me is I think it was Kobe Brea. He had turned the ball over after he misdribbled. And Pope goes up to Lamont Butler, the leader of our team, and he's like, he basically is telling Lamont to coach Kobe and be like, oh, what did he do wrong? And talking to Lamont, and Lamont, he's like, what are you going to tell him to Lamont? And Lamont's like, yeah, he misdribbled. He should have just stayed and made the next play instead of forcing that one.
Yeah.
It was cool to see, especially because I think when you're on a team, you know, you look up to the leaders, right? I mean, when you're a younger guy, especially, I mean, when we played sports, I always looked up to the older guys. And you take what they have to say. And it's different than taking something that the coach has to say because you're on the field with them. I feel like I always had the most respect for the people around me on the field. And I'm not saying I disrespected coaches, but those guys lived it and breathed it with you. So you have a different type of respect for them.
Carson Nash disrespects coaches. but you know, I'm with you on that. You know who picked off that pass from Kobe? I'm pretty sure.
Who?
I think it was Max, wasn't it?
Max Van Dyke, was it?
Yeah.
I think it was.
It might have been. He was in the clip. He was part of – he was defending. It might have been.
Hey, great defender. Shout out. He's one of our own at the Nash Family Basketball Association. So
shout out Max, the GOAT.
Yeah.
But so let's get straight into this, Carson. So 24/7 Sports put out an article, and I've got it pulled up here, that broke down the expected role and then wrote like a little blurb for each of the transfers in to Kentucky. So let's get right on into this. The first player here is Andrew Carr, and it says expected role starting forward. The blurb says, Carr was so good last year for Wake Forest. The 6'10", 220-pound big man is a fantastic play finisher. He can stretch the floor 37% from downtown or kill you on the block. Carr rated in the 92nd percentile nationally in post-up efficiency per Synergy last year. Yes, Kentucky wants to shoot threes, but you can't hide a small guard on Carr and expect to get away with it. He's just too polished offensively, and Carr will chip in defensively as well as a useful secondary rim protector. Carr also makes his free throws at a high clip and could even get some minutes at the five in closing lineups. There's so much lineup versatility on this Kentucky roster, and Carr is at the epicenter of it all. Carson, thoughts on that blurb? We both agree he's going to start, but thoughts on what they had to say about Andrew Carr?
Thoughts. It sounds like the person who wrote that went to Harvard. I mean, that's a good piece right there. But I agree with most of all that they have to say. I expect Carr to be one. He is polished. The nickname I'd give him, and I mean, it's already taken, but the big fundamental. He looks like he is just out there playing YMCA basketball at the highest level you can play YMCA basketball.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't really have much to disagree with there. I think they're spot on. I think people don't realize how good of a post player he is.
Yes.
Though. Like when you watch his highlights, his post fade is unreal. And his movement in the post, just how fluid he is. He gets to his spot when he wants to be there. I really like Carr, and I really do believe he's the starting four. And I would be excited to see him at the five and see what kind of lineup we could throw out there.
I love the idea of putting him at the five. And, you know, and we're going to get there. Well, that's a deeper conversation, but I have a guy that I think you could play at the four and him at the five, and that lineup would just be just but we'll get there in a little bit. I have decided that I am full on the Andrew Carr hype train. Conductor. I am the full on. It took me a minute. I am the conductor of the Andrew Carr hype train. I'm all in. I think he's going to be a great, he is a great player. I think he's going to elevate his game to the next level here at Kentucky. And, you know, you're right. Everybody sees him. They go, oh, he can dribble. He can pass. He can shoot. No, he can do all those things. And he's really good down low too. He truly is a three-level scorer. He can stretch the floor. He does everything you could want out of your four. I am so excited to see what he's going to do this year. He's going to be an absolute star. So the next player we got here is Jackson Robinson. It says a hint of familiar. Oh, there wow.
There he is.
Shout out Team Dyslexia. I know what the word is. I'm like, I can't. Familiar. Oh, my gosh. Say it for me. Say it.
Familiarity.
Thank you. Total embarrassment. But yes, I knew what the word was. I couldn't say it. I don't know if that makes it any better.
We all believe you.
I'm 23 years old, and I still can't say caterpillar right, but whatever. Is just so huge for a new coach. Robinson had a breakout season under him. I'm going to send you this link so you can read these. I'm not getting made fun of today. But breakout season under Mark Pope at BYU, and he smartly chose to run it back. This time at Kentucky, Robinson demands so much attention because he's a legit 6'7" shooter who never stops moving and can elevate over just about every defender. Robinson was also one of the top transition scorers in college basketball last year, despite only shooting 28% on his transition threes. Some positive regression is coming in that department as he continues to grow as a non-ball creator. Robinson's game will reach new heights, but he's a darn good college basketball player right now and could lead the SEC in three-point shooting. And then, of course, they have his expected role as the starting wing for this team. Carson, thoughts on that blurb there?
Yeah, I agree. And I really like what they said because he's right. Jackson Robinson, he's a taller guard. So any elevation on his jump shot, he's shooting over the other guard. Unless the other guard's absolutely massive, but then he's going to blow by him. So Robinson also was recently ranked the number one shooting guard in the country for next,
I saw that.
This upcoming season. So that's pretty huge. And him being with Pope already, knowing the offense and everything, he's definitely going to be – I think he's going to be our star player.
I do.
And his three-point shooting percentage wasn't crazy high last year, especially, like you said, on turnover – or transition threes. But that's only going to get better, like they said, because he's going to be playing with way better players than he was playing with at BYU, who can kind of carry some of that load that that he had to take.
Yeah, I think Robinson's going to be the star on this team. I'm with you on that. He's really good. He's going to have a great season. I think he could average 20 points a game. I actually wrote an article today ranking the top five players in the SEC, and I put Jackson Robinson fifth. I went Mark Sears, Jani Broom, Janelle Davis. I went Walter Clayton Jr., who I think is going to be really good at Florida. And then I went with Jackson Robinson at five. And it was really hard not putting Wade Taylor from Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. But then I'm like, his numbers, shooting percentages are terrible. Like Jackson Robinson, I think, is the fifth best player in the SEC. So I'm really anxious to see if he can live up to that. But I think he's going to be Kentucky's star player. I think there's a world where he averages 20 points a game. I feel very confident in that fact. So now moving on to Amari Williams, who they have listed as the starting center. It says skilled size is everything for Pope's offense, and a center who can be a playmaker on the perimeter is vital. Williams is not a three-point shooter, but he can clear open space with screens and dribble handoffs. He's also an adept passer, who had a 17% assist rate this past season at Drexel. Kentucky will also rely heavily on Williams to protect the rim and scoop up boards. The 6'10", which they haven't listed at 7 foot on Kentucky's roster, the 6'10", 265-pound big man has enough bricks in his britches to handle — that's an awesome line — bricks in his britches to handle one-on-one coverage against just about any big man, so Kentucky won't have to send double teams. Playing with Brandon Garrison might be a blessing in disguise for Williams. Kentucky can keep him fresh, out of foul trouble, and his motor should be revving for the 20 to 25 minutes he's on the floor. That's my favorite blurb about any of these players so far, not only because of some of the well-written terminology, the rhetoric. That's a great piece there. But I agree that I think Williams, you know, we keep talking about his defense and his passing. I think he's going to score too, Carson. I was writing a little bit about that today. People are talking so much about the – you know, people are talking so much about his ability to pass the ball and defend, but he's going to score the basketball. He averaged 12 points a game last year. I mean, he's not going to average 17 points, but I see a world where he averages, you know, 10 to 12 around what he did last year. But if he does that and brings you the elite passing and the elite defense around the rim, you take that all day long. So what are your thoughts about that blurb about Amari Williams?
Yeah, I like it. And I also agree because, and you're right. I mean, he's going to score more than people think just off of — he'll do a slip screen and be open, cutting towards the basket. He's one of those players that people on the defensive end are going to forget about because of how good our shooting is.
Yes.
And so when Kerr is taking his screen from him and he cuts towards the basket and they forget about him and double team Kerr, he's going to be open and he'll have a chance to either make a layup or kick to someone else in the corner. But yeah, and I've said this previously, I'm absolutely stoked about his passing. I think it's unreal to have a big that can pass as well as he can. And I would go on record to say he'd probably be the best passing big in the SEC this year.
I agree.
So I'm really excited about Amari, and yeah, he's going to be our starting five for sure.
Yep. I'm with you on that. Now moving on to Otega Owe, so this is where it gets interesting. I think obviously they seem to think that the locked in starters are Amari Jackson and Andrew Carr. And then after that, they no longer say starting blank. They say wing rotation, guard rotation. So we're going to get into that, you know, in our thoughts on that. But I want to read this blurb about Otega Owe. So it says wing rotation for Otega. And it says, on a team chalked full of shooters, Owe has a different skill set. And that's a good thing. Owe is driving that thang. Over 58% of Owe's shots last year came at the rim. And he's a tank in transition who wants to bulldoze backpedaling defenders out of the way. Owe is all of 6'5", 215. He's an intimidating defensive prospect who can be one of the best defenders on this team from the very jump. Kentucky will find minutes from him even if he doesn't start and doesn't shoot many three-pointers. UK should be able to invert the floor with its bigs to clear the paint for Owe to win those one-on-one matchups. I love this because this is something you and I have been saying here for a while, Carson. You know, you have your shooters. Kentucky has enough shooters. Otega Owe, his job, and he can shoot. And if he's open, he's not a player I'm going to go, no, please don't. If he's open, he can shoot him. I think there's a lot of similarities to Adu from last year, where if Adu was open, you'd let him shoot the ball, but getting downhill and getting to the rim is where Adu was great last year. That's who Otega is going to be this year. And I'm telling you, a player like him is going to be so valuable in a game where the threes aren't falling. The threes aren't falling. Otega, put your head down, go to the rim, get to the free throw line. That is what's going to happen. And so having a guy like him on a team full of shooters, I think is so beneficial. And I'm really excited to see how well he's going to do getting to the rim on a game-to-game basis. What are your thoughts on this, Carson?
Yeah, I mean, to piggyback on that, it also opens up the floor for the shooters, because you got a guy that can get to the lane. So when he goes at the lane as hard as he can, the people are going to have to help, because he is a strong dude. And so when they do, he can kick it back out, open threes. I really like his game a lot. And you're right, it's a lot different than everyone else's game. He's very smooth, though, with his dribbling and his finishing. So the only one thing that concerns me a little bit is the free throw shooting from last year, because you do talk about, like, he's different. He can get to the rim. Well, getting to the rim is also leading to foul shots.
Yes.
So, but I also think he's young. He was young, so he can take that leap. And if he can go from, I think he was at 65%. If he can go from like 65% shooting from the free throw line to about 75 or even 80, I mean, that's a huge difference.
You take 75 all day from. Yeah. I take that. And that's funny. That's one thing I wrote when I wrote an article about this quote was like, he's got to make his free throws, because if you're a slasher, you're going to get fouled a lot. And if you're going to get fouled, you got to make them more than you miss them. I guess technically 65% means you know, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You want to make them at a higher clip than 65, especially as, you know, not a 7-footer.
But so, at practice, you got to hit 5 in a row before you leave every day.
Yeah.
So they know their flaws, and Pope is harping on them about it. So,
yeah. And flat out, everybody needs to be able to shoot free throws.
Yeah. You got to.
Yeah,
you got to. In March, free throws win games. Yeah. Clutch moments, you got to hit your free throws.
Did you see he just retired, by the way?
I did see that. That's the only reason I thought of it.
Yeah, he just retired. So we got – I love this blurb about Kobe Bryant. This is a really good blurb because it's Gulkey-esque. So hear me out. It says – so they have him, they say,
for a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Wing rotation likely starter. It says, Brea is a bit of a one-trick pony, but if you're going to be good at something, might as well be a 99th percentile shooter in the country. Agree there. Brea is a special shooter who doesn't need the ball in his hands to score. Brea is a career 43% shooter, and he shot 50% from downtown last year. His gravity is impossible to ignore, and you better find him in transition or he will make you pay. Plus, 6'6", he's got great positional size and uses it to hunt down defensive rebounds, which is great. We want everybody helping on the boards. It'll be a modern-day miracle if he attempts multiple twos per game this season. That's hilarious. It'll all be threes. So, agree there. You know, the Gulkey-esque comment. I mean, he's going to shoot a lot of threes. Kobe Bryant, buddy, you're here to shoot the ball. And it's a great point about the size. You want everybody to help on the boards. Nobody needs to start running down the floor until the rebound is secured. I'm all in on that, which is great. But, yeah, I'm with him. Kobe Bryant is the best three-point shooter in college basketball, you know, statistically. Now, there might be another player on this roster and Travis Perry who has something to say about it. But, you know, my point here is this, and the point that Isaac Trotter is trying to make in his article is Kobe Bryant is here to shoot threes, and that's really it. So, Carson, do you disagree? Do you think we're going to see him take the ball down, or do you agree he's a shooter and that's what he's here to do?
I agree that he's the best shooter in college basketball. I would disagree that that's all he's going to do. Because if you watch Pope's offense, there's constant movement.
Yeah.
Everyone is always moving. So I think it's going to open the lanes up a little more for Brea to hit like a backdoor cut every once in a while to keep the defense on their toes. So I think I would assume he takes more twos than he did at Dayton. Plus, he's probably not going to be shooting as much as he was at Dayton too. So I'm guessing his efficiency will go up. But yeah, he's the best shooter in college basketball until Travis Perry gets real minutes.
Ready to rock and roll.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm excited about Bray. I think he'll be a starter. I don't see how.
I don't think it's conversation, frankly.
Yeah.
On that. Now moving on to BG Brandon Garrison. It says Williams, and this is front court rotation, is his expected role. Williams is probably the best bet to start at five, but Garrison is going to play. The former Ballyhooed recruit had some strong defensive sequences as a freshman at Oklahoma State this past season. That's where his bread will be buttered for Kentucky. Garrison gives Kentucky a vertical lob threat and more rim protection. The Cats should have a good rim protector on the floor for all 40 minutes, which is true and exciting. But don't overlook Garrison's playmaking. He's quietly had a 13% assist rate last season. It wasn't anything special, but he should eventually be able to make reads in this offense. And remember, you know, this is one of the questions I was able to ask Brandon. You know, I was talking about him passing the ball and Amari passing the ball. And he said, listen, you know, he made it very clear. He thought that he and Amari were the best two passing centers in college basketball. And when you're Coach Pope, who is looking for players who can pass or centers who can pass the ball, you might have found the best two. And that's exciting. I agree with everything said here. The vertical lob threat, he's going to dunk. He can score around the rim a little bit. He's got some moves. He's got the little, you know, the little hook shot. He's got all of it around the rim. And I like his ability to pass the ball, block shots, rebound. He's going to do it all, everything you need. And the best point in that entire little blurb there was in all 40 minutes, Kentucky's going to have a good rim protector out there. And that's so, so true. Carson, thoughts on this?
Yeah, no, I agree. I have heard in practice that he's a little bit behind, like Amari, which, yeah. I mean, makes sense. He's younger. But they said that there's flashes. Like, he has flashes of, like, wow, yeah. That kid's going to be really good. Yeah. But so you're going to be a little more on the Nick Richards side. I'd say sophomore Nick Richards is probably what you're getting closer to what Brandon Garrison can bring. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, people don't forget about junior Nick Richards. So Garrison's got me excited. He brings passing. He brings everything a big needs to bring to the table. I'm excited about Garrison, and it's been a while since we've had two really good shot blockers at center.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you. And with you on that, I'm really excited to see what he can develop into, because I think his upside is through the roof. Now moving on to Lamont Butler. It says guard rotation potential starter, which I'll talk about my thoughts on that here in a minute, but let's read this little blurb. Butler has been a mediocre offensive player for most of his career, but the point of attack defense raises his stock. He's been a huge piece of lockdown defenses for all 4 years at San Diego State. It's easy to pencil Butler in for around 25 minutes per game because he'll guard, he can handle on-ball creation duties, and he's sharp at finding openings in transition. In half-court settings, Kentucky won't lean on Butler to initiate everything, but you can't forget about him either. The fifth-year senior can randomly pop up for big scoring nights, usually when opponents try to hide a smaller guard on him that he can bully. So for me, I don't know if I – my issue, I don't know if I – he's what was it, 12 points per game last year? Is that, like, in college basketball, is that mediocre on offense? Like, let me make sure I'm right about this. But
I mean, didn't Reed Sheppard have 12 points a game last year?
Exactly. So – oh, I was wrong. It was 9. My bad. I thought it was 12. So 9.3. I still don't know if I'd call that mediocre. I mean, 9 points from your starting point guard. I don't know if I'd call that mediocre. I agree.
I don't think he has out to. There. I don't think he has to score.
Yeah. Which is kind of what this guy's saying in this. You know what I mean? I don't fully disagree. But what I would say is I think that I don't know if I'd say he's a mediocre offensive player. I would say he plays his role.
He plays what he's good at, which is smart. That's how you win. He's a winner. Yeah.
Yes. And when he needs to score, he can score. He can have 25 points. He can do it. He can shoot a little bit. I mean, he can do all of it.
It's just like 28 points in a third round game in the tournament.
Yeah. So I agree with you all on all that. But also, I've been really frustrated with some of these national media folks. Now, obviously, you can't harp on them too much. They're covering 872 programs. You know what I mean? But like John Rothstein, you know, put out his SEC, you know, rankings and all that different stuff. And he had Kerr Creasa listed as a starting point guard. I listened with his own mouth
to
say that Lamont Butler is the starting point guard for this basketball team. So
I know.
I, Lamont Butler is PG1 on this team, and I believe that.
He's our leader. Why do you think Pope went to him first to talk about someone doing something wrong?
Exactly. And Kerr, they're different players. Kerr's the more offensive point guard, who's still a great passer. Lamont is the defender and the facilitator.
Yeah, Jekyll and Hyde. You got both.
Exactly. So any other thoughts on this thing about Lamont?
No, I love Lamont. I think he's the best on-ball defender in the country, and I think he's going to lead our team, and that's huge. He's a winner. You love to have someone like that on the roster. That's how you win games.
So this is funny. Some of these blogs, I like this writer. I read a lot of what he does, and you know, I aggregate a lot of stuff for Kentucky Wildcats on SI from him. And you know, he tells it how it is. I like that. He doesn't, you know what I mean? And so just, you'll get what I'm saying when I read this first sentence of him talking about Kirk Creasy. So he lists guard rotation, potential starter for Kirk Creasy. Once again, we don't agree with that, knowing that he himself said Lamont's our PG1. But this is funny. Creasy has had a sky-high turnover rate for all 4 years of college basketball. It's just the cost of doing business with a player like Creasy who wants to take risks. But he's also a dynamic shooter with deep range. For a Kentucky team that wants to take a bunch of threes, that should work. Creasy shot 44% from three-point range in Big 12 play last year on over five attempts per game. That's nothing to neglect. You just have to bank on Kentucky's loads of depth, scaring Creasy and just staying on the straight and narrow so he can stick on the floor. So what they're saying there is hopefully him realizing there's a lot of great players means he's not going to do some crazy stuff passing the basketball and making bad decisions. So what are your thoughts on that blurb, Carson? I think that's a good talking point there.
Yeah, I think they're somewhat right. They're somewhat correct in there. But I also think I think he hasn't played for Coach Pope yet. I think Kerr is built in a lab to play for Coach Pope. I mean, he fits his scheme perfectly. And you can be a little out of control when you're always in a fast-paced environment and chucking up threes. So I think Kerr – I think we're yet to see the best of Kerr. I think the best of Kerr is to come, and it's going to be this season.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think he's going to be really good this year. Take care of the basketball a little bit. You know, of course, I'm with you. Coach Pope, tell him that, you know.
Yeah.
Tell him. Hey,
tell him that, but don't take away Kerr from Kerr. You got to still let him be Kerr.
But you can be Kerr and rope it in a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm saying rope it in a little bit. I'm not saying don't be Kerr. I'm saying rope it in just a little bit.
Yeah.
And if you do that, you take a turnover off your career average this year. Turnovers per game. I'm
like
all
I
in
said
on.
With I forgot who it was, but he was playing at WVU. WVU wasn't Kentucky. It doesn't have the talent that Kentucky has. Yeah. It's not Kentucky. You don't have to be the main guy here.
Yes.
You can be you. Like, you don't have to be the main guy. You can be efficient.
I'm with you on this. Now, here is a player, Carson, the last transfer, and I am starting to slowly buy into this. I am starting buy into Ainsley Almanor. I'll tell you why. I want to read the blurb. So it says here, front court rotation, which true, he's not going to be a starter. Almanor is another high volume shooter that Pope prioritized to fill out this roster. Sensing a theme? ? The 6'7", 220-pound forward shot 37% from three-point range on over seven attempts per game. We'll see how much he actually plays. In theory, Almanor is a serviceable backup to Carr at the four, but when Carr sits, Kentucky could shift to a four-guard lineup featuring Brea, Robinson, Owe, and Butler, or Creasy. That could leave Almanor out in the cold a bit, but he's a veteran shot maker who shouldn't have an issue embracing a bench role at Checks Notes, Kentucky. Here's the deal. This dude can fill it up. He can shoot the ball.
He can shoot it.
This lineup, okay, you got to hear me out. This lineup right here, okay?
I know what you're going to say.
I'm going to say Lamont to facilitate, but you could say Kerr, either which way you want to go with it. Kerr, Jackson Robinson, Kobe Brea, Ainsley Almanor, and Andrew Carr at the five. Oh, my goodness.
200 points a game.
I mean, That lineup will feed families. That lineup, I am dreaming of that lineup. I wake up like Deadpool, going, Thor. I'm waking up and I'm like, oh, five guys that can shoot the ball, please. I want it. I want to see it. That's all I want. I hope I didn't just like spoil Deadpool for people. I don't really think that's a spoiler, but it doesn't matter.
Why is Thor crying?
Yeah. Why? Okay. Now that we're getting closer, but flame on. But, you know, I think that that lineup would be awesome. I really do. And then, I mean, there's so, I wrote an article this week actually kind of talking about that, saying Coach Pope has so many, he could put Garrison and Williams out there if he needs rim protection, he needs rebound. I mean, there's, I don't think he'll do that, but he could. There's so much you can do with this roster. And Ainsley Almanor is a player. Here's the deal. I want to pull these numbers up one more time because I want to, I want someone, if you are if you are not an Ainsley Almanor believer, after I read these numbers one more time, I want someone to tell me why. Okay. 16.4 points per game, 5.1 rebounds, 1.7 assists, 43.6% from the field. And once again, last year he shot 39.4% from three. Why in the world would you not want that to be your backup four? You know what I mean? And once again, yes, he's a little smaller, but he's played the four and the five his whole life. For goodness sake, he guarded Zach Edey in a tournament game they won.
Yeah.
The point here is this. He knows how to guard players. He knows how to play his position undersized. You know what I mean? I'm all in on Ainsley Almanor.
That means you already know where his basketball IQ is at. If you play in that position at that size, you got to be smart.
Exactly. So I'm not sitting here saying that he's going to be the star on this team, that he's going to be the best player in the SEC, that he's going to start. Not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is he's going to be a role player, and I think he's a guy that is going to win you some games off the bench with his ability to stretch the floor, shoot the three ball, and defend. So, Carson, thoughts on Almanor?
Yeah, no, I really like Almanor, and I'm believing more and more into the hype every day. Yeah. He came into Kentucky. He loved this place ever since he committed. It was like 40 something percent of his games he hit over four threes, which is absolutely unreal. And so having that spark off the bench, I mean, you bring him and Kerr off the bench, you're just waiting to fill it up.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, let's practice this. Familiarity. I've been sitting here working on this in my head the whole time. That was rough. That was so
rough. I was waiting for it to happen.
I'm not going to – yeah. I mean, I've – in high school, oh, man, I had some rough misreads. I remember, like, I was like – they. Everyone would always popcorn read me, you know, because it's like, you know, Andrew can't read. And it was always Mike. It was always Mike. He would popcorn me, or Bryce. Bryce popcorned me a lot. And then I'd go up there and I'd go, oh boy, here we go. It's not going to be pretty, but that's okay. That's okay. We're on to better things when it comes to reading. I just don't do it anymore. That's how you solve that problem.
You just don't do it anymore.
Exactly. But no, that's going to do it for today's episode of the Wildcats Today podcast. Listen, if you haven't hit that subscribe button, hit it. Helps us a ton. Helps us show a ton. Hit the like button. Really appreciate y'all doing that. Helps grow the show.
Turn on notifications.
Yes, and you do that. You know exactly. I mean, if you're an everydayer, or not everydayer, an every shower here at Wildcats Today, you know when we're dropping pods. But if you're just getting into it, turn on that notification bell. It'll let you know. It'll pop up right to your phone. So you'll know, it's time to listen to the Wildcats Today podcast. So appreciate you all doing that. Hope everybody has an outstanding Wild Turkey weekend. I know that we will. Have a good weekend, y'all. And we will see y'all on Tuesday right here at the Wildcats Today podcast.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.